Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, January the 11th, 2016. Here are top stories.
Tonight, you have heard of a credit score, but did you know that cops in Fresno are assigning threat scores as well? Then, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is in opposition to Obama's gun policy. And Louis Farrakhan on vetting Muslim refugees. That's next.
Government has gone into nations with money from our Congress to stimulate the dissatisfied and then arm them against a government that is their government. That's what America did in Libya. That's what they're doing in Syria. And the blowback now is they have created a refugee crisis that is destabilizing.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, it's a new year, and we see another layer of the surveillance onion being pulled back. And, of course, this is something we've talked to you about for a long time here at InfoWars. It was InfoWars that broke the story back in 2009 about the MIAC Fusion Center. And that was identifying the threats that people might pose to law enforcement. Identifying as threats people who might have Ron Paul bumper stickers on their car or Bob Barr bumper stickers. And, of course, now what they're doing is they have software to anonymously accuse you and tell the police that you are a threat. Understand how important this is, how dangerous this is for you if you are anonymously identified by a computer algorithm as being a threat to the police and they're told about this. Then you are very much more likely to be shot by the police because they are in fear for their life. This story from the Washington Post was picked up on the Drudge Report. The new way police are surveilling you, calculating your threat score, and they point out that there's now a program that is looking through billions of data points, including things like arrest reports, property records, commercial databases, deep web searches of things like social media posting, and of course they don't mention it, but you know that gun registration has to be there, and of course they're going to give one of three color-coded scores to the police to identify whether you are a threat or not. A big, bright red warning is something that tells them, be careful, this person is likely to kill you. So what do you think the police are going to, how they're going to interact with people like that? Now they go on to point out and they say in this particular case that they start out their story with, they say the intelligence helped them to make the right call because this person had a gun. So you know that guns are going to be at the top of the list. You know that whether or not you're carrying a gun, they're going to have you as part of a threat to their safety. This software is called the Beware software, and they talk about it in the context of this Fresno Center that is essentially like one of these fusion centers, if it isn't, if that's not the name that they use now 6 years after we identified that. They say it's given local law enforcement officers unprecedented power to peer into the lives of citizens. They say, some say these laws are needed to protect the public, laws that would essentially give us due process, protect our privacy. Those are people like civil libertarians who are concerned about that. Why would we be concerned about that? Well, you know, a police state can solve crimes. A police state can help protect us against criminals. But a police state is going to be the most dangerous criminal you will ever face. And that's what you need to keep in mind for all those people who tell you that they want to give up their Liberty for Security. They go on and point out that dozens of departments for years have used devices that can hoover up or vacuum up all cell phone data in an area without search warrants. Yes, called Stingray, among other things. And of course, that is a violation of your constitutional rights, regardless of what the Supreme Court or anybody else says. Clearly, searching your information, storing information about you, is clearly prohibited by the Constitution. We don't need a Supreme Court justice to tell us that. And even if they tell us that it isn't, we know better. They say this is something that's been building, of course, since September 11th. That's the purpose of September 11th. But this is a senior staff attorney at the Electronic Freedom Frontier Foundation. He said the first funding went to the military to develop this type of technology. Now it has come back to domestic law enforcement. Remember what James Madison, the father of the Bill of Rights, said? He said the tools, the means of defense abroad will become the tools of tyranny at home. And that's what we are witnessing again and again and again. This is the latest example of it. And of course, they call this the Fresno Real-Time Crime Center. That's the name for this fusion center. They say the type of facility has become a model for high-tech policing nationwide. Similar centers have opened in New York, Houston, and Seattle. They say Fresno police say having the ability to access all that information in real time is crucial to solving crimes. Well, you know, again, as I just said, an Orwellian government is the most dangerous criminal we will face, far more dangerous than one man who's a criminal or even the mafia, because of the power that that government has. And, you know, if we make an omnipotent state, they are an omniscient state, I should say, that knows everything about us, that will be an omnipotent state. It will have all power. That's what we need to fear more than anything else. And of course, this is the bottom line, what I'm concerned about, what you should be concerned about. And in justifying this, they say, well, our officers are expected to know the unknown and to see the unseen. Total information awareness, right? They are making split-second decisions based on limited facts. And so now what we're going to give them is a computer algorithm that may identify you as a threat because of your political positions, or because you're outspoken critic of the government, or because you have a gun registered, okay? You're now being anonymously accused by an algorithm. And that accusation can result in your death by trigger-happy police who are scared to death that they've pulled over someone who is a threat to their life. Now, they go on and talk about another story that was on Drudge Report today. Forget fingerprints. Wi-Fi routers are more valuable than fingerprints or DNA. Data collected by those Wi-Fi devices can find and identify criminals. They say fingerprints and DNA are key evidence for identifying criminals. We all know that. But now we have Wi-Fi. They say the problem is that this information doesn't stick around for a very long time. But they can identify you down to that device. Every device that you get on the Internet with, whether it's your cell phone or a computer, a laptop, or your desktop, every one of those devices has an MAC, a Media Access Control address, that is unique to that particular device. Once they connect you to a device, they can track you everywhere you go. And they say, of course, they can't store this information. But, of course, even if this information is not being stored by the Wi-Fi router in a particular location, that information is being stored by your ISP, or it's being stored by the people that you interact with on the Internet, people like search engines, that sort of thing. That is why they enacted CISA as both a carrot and a stick for these people. Many of them did not want to turn that information over, perhaps because they had a conscience, because they understood the risk that is involved to society, because they're libertarians or understand the issues involved. Maybe they just wanted to not have the legal exposure of being sued because they turned into snitches when they should have been just engaged in a business. So what the government did was they created CISA, and they said, you can turn this information over to us, and we will protect you from lawsuits. And then that allows them to basically twist the arms of these companies and say, well, if you don't turn this information over to us, then we're going to consider the fact that you are an accessory to trying to hide these people or to impede our criminal investigation. See how that works? CISA is really a rubber hose to beat that information out of the people that you engage with on a daily basis, whether it's your telephone company or whether it's your internet service provider, to force them to turn over that information, to operate under the lie that the information they've collected about you is their information and not your information. That's how they say they get around the requirements to have a search warrant. Now, take a look at how this works. At the very same time we're seeing this information saying, look, they're going to track you with Wi-Fi, doing threat assessments for you. We can see that a woman who was on a robbery spree of jewelry stores throughout Georgia, $4 million stolen in 6 different robberies in 5 different states. How did they find her? Well, they found her through her cell phone. And the interesting thing about this is that even though this lady was robbing the banks without any mask or covering over her face, not trying to hide her identity at all, it went on for quite some time. They didn't find her by doing a face match. What they did was they found her by using her cell phone. They noticed in one of the surveillance tapes that she had a phone that she was talking on. They started looking to see who was in that area, correlating that between the different areas where that was. The other thing that was interesting about this, I thought, was that she robbed jewelry stores that were chains that operated in malls because she knew they would not be armed. She went to places like Jared's or Zales, and that's where she robbed $4 million worth of jewelry. The affidavit alleges that the cell phone tied to her pinged off of towers in the areas where the robberies were being committed. Now, of course, it's not a new thing that the government would track our cell phone. Remember, O.J. Simpson was tracked by a cell phone. But that was in real time. What's different about this and what's different today is the storage of that information. The fact that they have a trail of everywhere that you have gone, everything that you've been able to do. And of course, that is what we were talking about when we said you have to be concerned about geospatial intelligence, about activity-based intelligence, about human domain analytics. When they were talking about mastering the human domain, that is the fastest growing area of the intelligence community. And that is looking at your metadata. Remember, James Clapper and others were saying, oh, we're not storing all this information. We're not storing every one of your phone conversations. Of course, we can't trust anything that they say. But regardless of whether they're storing your phone conversations or not, the metadata is the most important data that they could get. And that's what they used to track this lady here. Now, at the same time they are watching everything that you do, of course, our government does not want you to watch anything that they do. So we have an Arizona lawmaker introducing a bill to criminalize filming the police at close range. Yes, do not watch the watchers. Do not watch the government. If you do, we're going to criminalize this. And of course, this is an Arizona State Senator, a Republican, John Kavanaugh. He justified the bill by saying that being filmed puts officers in danger by distracting them while they're engaging with suspects. The ACLU says courts have previously struck down attempts to limit the ability of people to record law enforcement. They say there's now a clearly established right in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, most circuits in this country, to observe and to record the activity of law enforcement in public places is okay. Limiting that to when you're further away than 20 feet obviously infringes on the established First Amendment right. I know my camera doesn't work as well when I'm 21 feet away than when I'm 10 feet away. Nor do I hear it as well. That's the most important aspect. He says the law already allows officers to make people move back if they are actually interfering with police activity. Understand, too, that, of course, while the government doesn't want you filming the police, but they want to know everything about you, they especially want to know about those people that work for them, people who are a part of the system. Take a look at what the Defense Department is doing. The Insider Threat Program is surveilling hundreds of thousands of Pentagon personnel, everybody that's connected with the Defense Department, as well as contractors, okay, put under total surveillance. They say at least 100,000 military, civilian, and contractor personnel with the Defense Department have been subjected to, quote, continuous evaluation, unquote, or total surveillance of their electronic activities. They say throughout this entire document and where they're talking about what they have done, there's only one small mention of the issue of privacy. And they say, yeah, we're going to appoint some people to take a look at that at some point in time. Yeah, you can bet that they will. Okay, now as Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, remember the guy who told Ron Wyden, bold-faced lie, and said, no, we're not really listening to people's email. You know, that same James Clapper, the guy who has been at the forefront of geospatial intelligence for the last 15 years, said the system of continuous evaluation is designed to monitor electronic behavior on the job as well as off the job. So if you work for the Defense Department, they're going to be following you 24/7, everything that you do. And, of course, we have a couple of senators, Chuck Grassley and Ron Wyden, that I just mentioned, wrote a letter to him in June saying that there should be a constitutional, statutory, and prudential limits to any monitoring of personnel. They say that this is going to have a chilling effect on legitimate whistleblower communication. And of course, that is right on spot. As they pointed out in this document, they listed as examples of people that had gone wrong, Thomas Drake, who is a bona fide whistleblower. He is not a threat to the government. He exposed criminal activity, but they said, whistleblower Thomas Drake, who revealed fraud, waste, and abuse, was listed along with Nadal Hassan, Aaron Alexis, and Robert Hansen. Now, Hassan and Alexis murdered people. Hansen was a Soviet spy. Thomas Drake was a legitimate whistleblower that they tried to persecute. They say this kind of wanton misuse of the term threat demonstrates this program fails to distinguish between those who want to fix programs from those who wish to do harm to our national security. Now, at the same time, we see in the UK, Peter Preston pointing out the corruption that happens when we have people who are specialist correspondents, people who cover the beat of intelligence, for example. He says what they're going to do is they're going to accept the official line of the espionage services. And of course, this is a problem that extends throughout journalism. The fact that people will trade their integrity for access, the fact that they are being fed these stories, and of course, that's where all their work is done for them by the government. All they have to do is republish the press releases that the government gives them. But listen to what he has to say here. He says, consider the threat from terrorism. The Islamic State, as with Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, other current terrorist groups, needs to be put into perspective, he says. After 9/11, a very wise intelligence officer told me in 2002, we have turned 16 clever Al-Qaeda terrorists into a worldwide movement, seemingly more dangerous to Americans than the communist Soviet Union with thousands of nuclear missiles. Never at the height of the Cold War did we institute the security actions at home that have been taken and are being contemplated to meet what's been described as the current terrorist threat. Yeah, we also didn't fly in Russian refugees at the height of the Cold War that were all military-age, able-bodied soldiers. That is the core of it. That's why the war on terror has been so successful then. Think about the fact that even with all the scare and the nuclear scare that we had at the height of the Cold War, we never had the kind of totalitarian measures that we now see and the public now accepts because they buy the official story of 9/11. Now, stay with us when we come back. We're going to take a quick look at the Constitutional Convention. Is it going to solve the problems that we have? We'll see. Stay with us when we come back.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well, and he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Now, as we've covered this Oregon standoff with some of the Bundys who are at the Bundy Ranch standoff that I covered, I've tried to make it clear that while I admire Ammon Bundy and his brothers, I believe they're making a severe tactical error with this standoff. And we're going to talk about the Constitutional Convention because I admire Governor Abbott, but in the same way, I believe that he's making a severe tactical error by calling for a Constitutional Convention. First, what's going on at the Bundy Ranch? Is there a better way to achieve this? Yes, I think so. We saw an article that the New York Times put out that's linked by Drudge, the larger but quieter than Bundy push to take over federal land. Not necessarily to take it over. Let's understand, this is the people's land. It should have been turned to over to them when these areas became states. That's the whole point. And of course, instead of talking about the Bundy Ranch, the Bundy Oregon standoff at this point, they talk about Ken Ivory, somebody that we have interviewed here on InfoWars. Alex has talked to him and his organization, the American Lands Council. They say it's been funded mostly by donations from county governments. Why is that? It's because of the oppressiveness of the federal government, and they lay some of this out. Understand also that in Utah, where Ken Ivory is a legislator, the governor there back in 2012 signed a bill asking for the federal government to do the constitutional rightful thing, and that is to turn over those lands to state management. But of course, the federal government just ignored that. Now, the New York Times article makes some interesting cases here, things that don't have anything to do necessarily with grazing rights or mineral rights that are hard for people in suburban and city areas to understand. It talks about things like access to the national parks. That you can understand. Here's an example. In December, Phil Lyman, a commissioner in San Juan County, Utah, received a 10-day jail sentence after he led a protest ride on all-terrain vehicles through a federal area that had been closed to motorized use. He said, "All I did was drive down a canyon road, a road." He said, "It seems to be getting worse. The federal agencies are expanding. Their restraints are being overstepped. It's not the way this country was set up. It's not the founder's design." Here's another example. They say about an hour's ride from the wildlife refuge where Mr. Bundy's group is facing off with the government, Erin Maupin and her husband Jeff pay the government each summer to feed their cattle on 19,000 acres of federally owned land. She said that like many ranchers, they wanted to work with the government, but the layers of grazing restrictions and environmental rules were getting out of hand. She said, "We want somebody to make sure we're doing it right, but it's gotten to the point where there's no common sense in it." That's the point. There's no common sense in it. They are just shutting the areas down. And of course, as we reported last week, the congressman from the area where the Bundys are occupying that facility in Oregon had talked about how the federal government tried to shut down access for runners. They had a runner's trail there where they had about 20 people at a time going with youth groups that were going out there, Boy Scout groups, that sort of thing. They tried to shut that down. And they had to fight them to keep them from shutting it down to foot traffic or to keep them from shutting down canyon roads as this protest came about. But here's the bottom line. And they understand they're starting to see what is happening now, although they may not see the roots of this action. They say the land policies now are basically lock it up and throw away the key, said a commissioner in Garfield County, Utah. He says it's land with no use. The local economy has really suffered as a result. Yeah, they're making everybody poor. Grazing has been reduced. We used to have a thriving timber industry. That is all but gone. And see, this is by design. This is Agenda 21. This is the 2030 sustainability plan. You have to understand that that is the plan to lock this all up. So how do we control the government? Well, last week we had the Texas governor here took on the challenge, and I agree with him as to what the problem is, and I agree with the fact that he's taking action. We still need to take a look at that action, though. Even though we like Governor Abbott, even though I support what he's done, even though I appreciate the fact that he's taking action, we still need to look at what that action is. And of course, here in Texas, in the Red River Valley, the BLM is trying to take away private property, saying that literally redrawing the boundaries, property that has been deeded to these families for decades, in many cases over 100 years, taking away, I think it's over 150,000 acres. I'm just going from memory on that. So what do we do? Well, the governor says Congress is unable to control itself, so the people must impose control. I would say this. Congress is unable or unwilling to control the bureaucracy, the courts, and the president. See, the Congress has become a rump organization. They have invited this dictatorial government, this unilateral push for all this. The Congress is doing absolutely nothing. And so the solution does have to come from the states. As Governor Abbott said, the states must lead the way. I would say the people have to lead the way. And part of that is going to be working with the states. And understand, too, that it's, just as I said about Governor Abbott, we don't fall in line necessarily on a constitutional convention because he proposes it. Understand, 2 days before Governor Abbott proposed it, we had Marco Rubio propose a constitutional convention. And he said all of the right things. He said, we want to promote a convention of states to amend the Constitution and restore limited government because the government is out of control. He said, the framers of our Constitution allowed for a constitutional convention because they knew our citizens were in the ultimate defense against, were the ultimate defense against an overbearing federal government. Okay? And he says, this is necessary because Washington's refusal to place restrictions on itself. Now, I would ask you, when he says, we knew that our citizens would be the ultimate defense, who is going to be going to this constitutional convention? Will it be you and I? Or will it be people like Marco Rubio, like John Boehner, like Nancy Pelosi, like Harry Reid? Even though he's retiring now, there'll be somebody like him. It will be the leadership of the mainstream parties that will be going there to amend our Constitution. And that's my first concern about it, one of my key concerns about it. But I also believe that there are many things that we can do that don't have the risk of a constitutional convention that would involve us directly, things that we could do directly. Let's take a look at some of the things, however, that Governor Abbott has proposed in his detailed plan, restoring the rule of law. Prohibit Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state. Well, I would argue that under the Constitution, they don't have the authority to do that. They have appealed to the Commerce Clause. They have appealed to the General Welfare Clause. Understand that I think those arguments are very specious. Even if they were true, they're still superseded by the Ninth and Tenth Amendment that make it clear that unless they have been given express authority in a particular area, they don't have it. Understand that this kind of intervention within the state boundaries came about during the FDR regime when they were trying to regulate food and control farmers' prices, and you had a farmer who said, I'm only selling within my state. They said, we don't care. You're affecting it all the way across state lines. So it's been the executive branch in conjunction with the judiciary, as FDR packed the courts, that has overthrown the rule of law. When we take a look at this, the story that I had earlier about the lady who was going around robbing banks, Did anybody say, you know what we really need is we need to make it more clear that it's against the law to do armed robbery? Or maybe she didn't understand that armed robbery prohibition doesn't applies to a jewelry store. So maybe we should have one expressly saying that you're not supposed to rob jewelry stores. See, the problem is not the law. The problem is the criminals who refuse to obey the law. And I don't want to see this gang of criminals rewriting our laws. The problem is we have to get them to obey it. Another example, require Congress to balance a budget. I agree with that as well. However, understand that the root cause of that is the Federal Reserve. The Keynesian crutch that says that money that we owe to ourselves is not anything that we have to worry about. That's the lie that was sold with the Keynesian economists. We need to attack the Federal Reserve. We got really only Ron Paul talking about that. He's pressing Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders to put up or shut up. You want to complain about the banks that control everybody, but you won't sign on to the audit the Fed bill? See, it's the same thing that we're seeing from the Democrats. When we've got Paul Ryano saying that he wants to now defund Obamacare and he wants to defund Planned Parenthood 3 weeks after he gave carte blanche to the funding for these organizations with the omnibus bill. Remember? He put all that funding in there. He even removed the Cadillac tax to help the Democrats to sell Obamacare as a victory, because that would have punished blue-collar working-class people for having Cadillac health insurance plans that were negotiated through their unions. They would have had to pay a higher tax, so they helped them out on that. That's the problem we have, is a government that will not obey the law. It isn't a problem that we don't have clear enough laws.
We celebrate the 4th of July as a reminder of earning our independence from a tyrannical and oppressive government. Just a reminder to the Obama administration, there's plenty of room on the calendar for another holiday.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat, because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the Shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Joining me now is Leanne McAdoo, and we're going to talk about the latest data dump of Hillary emails that came out at the end of the year during the holidays. Is it enough to send Hillary to prison, or does anybody really care? So Hillary would say, what difference does it make?
Right.
And a lot of people are saying, oh, I don't care. Fellas, yeah. I don't care. You know, yeah. Send her to the White House.
She's well, that people are matter. So used to criminals running the government, yeah. They're yeah. just, you know, numb normal. To it all.
Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly, you know, her response. She goes out on the Sunday shows to sort of respond to whatever scandal is going on during the week. It's all over the news, all the talking points. So then she'll go on a softball interview to respond where whoever is interviewing her is never going to get into a heated
right.
exchange.
They won't challenge her.
And so with this latest email dump, they thought what they had would be this smoking gun email that would prove that she violated federal laws. So this was an email exchange that she had with Jake Sullivan, who was then her deputy chief of staff. Now he's her campaign foreign policy advisor. So she's waiting for these talking points to come through very impatiently. And Sullivan tells her that the source is having trouble with the secure facts. So Hillary, she orders him to strip the data of its markings and send it through a non-secure channel. So that is an order to violate the laws of handling classified information.
Yeah, if it says classified on it, just scratch that off.
Yeah, don't worry about through. That. Just yeah. send it through.
Just reclassify it yourself. Pretend that it's not classified. Lie about it not being classified. Alter the document. Yeah. Falsify it. Send it through the facts.
Yeah, and then, of course, now this is someone who said that she never got any classified email sent to her private server. Well, now is that because she's had them all stripped of their markings? I mean, this yeah. is someone who's well-versed in skirting the federal laws. But take a look at this clip. This is how she went on the Sunday shows because she knows she's going to be speaking to her voters, mostly people who aren't going to educate themselves and just want to believe whatever comes out of her mouth.
Aren't you ordering him to violate the laws on handling classified material there?
No, not at all. And as the State Department said just this week, that did not happen, and it never would have happened.
What's striking about that particular email is it suggests you were very facile with how to do this process. You knew the instructions about how to get around the restrictions for sending classified information. So you're saying there was never an instance, any other instance in which you did that?
No. And it wasn't sent.
See, so it's just the hubris with her. And so, of course, from other emails we've seen, this is someone who's had to ask for help with how to use her iPhone, how to use a fax machine, how do I, you know, hang up the phone to send a fax. I mean, so this is someone who...
Well, look at this one here that this is pointed out by the Observer News. They say the irony of one of these is Hillary expressing surprise about a State Department staffer using personal email for work, which she wrote on her own personal email.
Right.
So, I mean, she's saying, hey, yeah. wait a minute, he's using his own personal email for, and she's doing that on
her private server. Private yeah. Server. Well, this is just more proof that the laws do not obtained to them. Like, they don't have to worry about those. But see, it's not just how to skirt these federal laws. She's also figured out how to skirt around public corruption laws, too. And that is why now the FBI is expanding their probe from just the use of her private email server. Now they're looking into public corruption. And this is due to more than a year's worth of journalism that's come out, basically showing how she was using her State Department and her Clinton Foundation was basically a slush fund for this. So now you'll think of 20 nations that donated to the Clinton Foundation. 17 of those had more robust weapons deals than in the last 3 years of the previous administration.
It's so just a coincidence.
How does that happen? Because President Obama was elected on an anti-war platform, right? And then all of a sudden in those first 3 years when Clinton is running your State Department, you are ramping up arms deals to the unsavory Middle East countries. How does that happen? You slip a little money into their foundation. And so that's what they're looking at. $165 billion worth of commercial arms sales to 20 nations. That's nearly double the value of what was made to those same countries and approved during George W. Bush's. So, right, the Republican Party is the warmongers. And then, of course, with the $151 billion of separate Pentagon broker deals. So basically, organizations that donated to the Clinton Foundation, they saw a 143% increase in the amount of weapons coming in their way, whereas with other nations that didn't donate, it was about an 80% increase. So this is someone who's saying that this campaign, she is pro-women, she's going to be anti-gun, she's going to go against the gun lobby. Meanwhile, she is ramping up arms deals to nations that are known ethics violators and monstrous toward women. The women in Saudi Arabia just got the right to vote like a month ago, 2 months ago. So, you know, and then of course,
State Department was a perfect place for her to hang out, not just because she wanted to get international experience on her resume, but because the Clintons had already been doing a lot of deals, a lot of crooked arm deals through the Bill Clinton administration. So it's just a perfect place for her to continue that.
Right. And not to mention, you know, General Electric, they're more than, I think, 40%, 50% owners there of NBC when they decided to go ahead and give Chelsea Clinton that cushy job as a correspondent.
Of course, what difference does it make? 46% of the people say they wouldn't want to see a candidate who's been charged with a felony, but 47% think that's just fine.
You can be a felon.
So what difference does it make? Well, we've got an interview here, clips from the interview that Roger Stone had with Alex Jones earlier today. He's got the complete dossier on the Clintons in his book, The Clintons' War on Women. We're now selling it at the InfoWars store bookstore. You can get that there. Here's an excerpt from Roger Stone's interview with Alex Jones earlier today.
Former campaign advisor to Donald Trump, friends with Donald Trump. Donald Trump thanked Mr. Stone for asking him to come on the show when he was here a month ago with us. Speaking of Mr. Trump himself, strategy to have him win these primaries, what the Republican establishment is going to do to try to stop him, and then talking to Mr. Trump, how he's doing right now. I mean, he's got to be pretty excited that he's weathered every made-up storm.
Yeah, no, he had a very strong week last week. Look, I think he wiped the war on women issue away for Hillary and the Democrats. If they thought they were going to play that old saw again, it's not going to work. And Trump served them notice. That's a big, big page that has to now be ripped out of their game plan to try to win this election. Look, I think Trump is the only candidate who can win. And I must tell you, he's feeling good. He's in a fine mood. I think you can see that he's having fun. He's drawing enormous crowds, 10,000 people in South Carolina. Everywhere he goes, he is pulling extraordinary large crowds. There's an enthusiasm. Alex, this is an insurrection. This is an uprising. This is the underclasses saying we're fed up with the two-party duopoly. We're fed up with government that costs us a fortune and delivers nothing. We're fed up with a foreign policy that seems confused at best and treasonous at worst. We're sick of not being told the truth about most issues. We're sick about marching off to war without understanding where our national interest is. We're sick of having our emails and phone calls monitored by an oppressive big brother government. The people are angry. The key to Trump's election is many people who have stopped voting because, like you and I, they've become disgusted with the two-party system because the Democrats and Republicans are in it together. The Bushes and Clintons are in it together. Or people who are new to the process and just have a general disregard for voting because they don't think it'll make any difference.
Sure. How big is it, though? Record numbers won't identify as Democrats now in Gallup.
Yeah, no, I think the tea leaves of the polls are very good. I caution you to say they're going to change dramatically. Poll out today shows that more women think that Hillary Clinton treats women better than Donald Trump. And that doesn't surprise me because the truth about the Clintons has been suppressed by the mainstream
media.
And
that's why it's key to get your book and all this proven documentation out.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. Look, we know that when NBC had their chilling interview with Juanita Broderick, a woman who was raped and bitten by Bill Clinton in 1978 when he was attorney general, they sat that sat on that at NBC for weeks, and they weren't even sure they were going to run it. It was a very fine piece of television journalism by Lisa Myers. I invite anybody to go to YouTube and watch it. This woman is compelling.
We should all write articles about that report about Juanita Broderick. We should all bring that back up because, yep, to use a Hobbit analogy, this could be the black arrow that brings down Smog, is the information in your book that's so well documented.
Well, I'm hoping that is the case. I do think that only Trump has the courage to continue to drive this home. Plus, only Trump would rebuild our military. Only Trump would destroy ISIS and stop this pinprick nonsense. If we're going to engage, then let's engage with a strategy that can succeed. I'm not an isolationist. I'm a non-interventionist.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Interviewed a lot of people, and I've snuck in places like Bohemian Grove. I've been attacked at political demonstrations, been arrested many times. But I gotta say, this is probably the most surreal drive I've ever made to go meet someone that I'm gonna be interviewing. Louis Farrakhan.
Our government has gone into nations with money from our Congress to stimulate the dissatisfied and then arm them against a government that is their government. That's what America did in Libya. That's what they're doing in Syria. And the blowback now is they have created a refugee crisis that is destabilizing the countries in Europe. So when Mr. Trump said, we can't allow these Muslims, refugees, into America. Now, a lot of people were upset with him, but I know, sir, that the hatred for America in the Muslim world is building, as we told Mr. Bush. No Muslim leader could call for jihad and have it stick. No Muslim leader had the power to unite the whole Muslim world. I said, but America's policies will unite those people against the West, and it is happening. So in this way, Mr. Trump, I think, is wise to vet anyone coming from that area into America, because the hatred for America is in the streets now. So if those people are refugees and America feels I gotta let 10,000 of them in because America created the problem. Now, if you let them in and you don't vet them carefully, you might be letting in your own destruction. When we dialogue, we correct misperceptions. That is what makes Trump acceptable to so many white people who feel, damn, I can't be myself now. I can't say what I really feel. I'll pay a political price. So Mr. Trump says, to heck with that. I'll tell you what's on my mind. And that is freeing a lot of people that like what he is doing. So the politicians today, I looked at the many Republicans and Democrats that are trying to win the nomination of their party. And it says to me, you know, it's like I don't want to be vulgar, but it's like you, in any major city, you see women undressed, showing their wares for a John to buy them. And it's like politicians who don't have money, but have ideas. And they parade themselves before rich and powerful people to get money, apparently for their ideas that the rich agree with. But the moment that they become what they're looking to become, they find that the rich have an agenda for them, that the rich have something to ask of them, like the John asks of the prostitute. And that's one of the things that I admire about Mr. Trump, because he told them all, I don't want your money. And when a politician does not want money from the rich, he's freer than the others to really do good for the masses of the people. And I think that today we are in the midst of the darkest hour in American history. And so if we don't make the right move with the right people at the right time, the America that we know, we're not going to see it become great again.
In the few minutes that we have left, I want to put a bookend on Governor Abbott's call for restoring the rule of law. He makes some very broad and important points that I think it's very important for the public to understand. First of all, we need to have some kind of fiscal responsibility in Washington. That's what his call to have a balanced budget amendment is about. But understand that what makes the federal government irresponsible is the fact that they can print money, that they can borrow money without any limit with using the Federal Reserve. States don't have that capability. As a governor, Governor Abbott understands that. But of course, it was John Maynard Keynes, creator of Keynesian economics, the court jester to FDR's economic programs, that sold us on the lie that macroeconomics doesn't obey the same rules as microeconomics, that no matter how much money you borrow, if you borrow it from yourself, it doesn't really matter. And yet the reality is that we're not borrowing it from ourselves. We're printing it, we're borrowing it from other countries. That is the fundamental lie, and the Federal Reserve is really the mechanism by which they've done this. No budget balancing amendment is really going to stop that. See, we can't really restate the Ninth and Tenth Amendment as his seventh one does. He says, restore the balance of power between the federal and state governments by limiting the federal government to powers expressly delegated it into the Constitution. Well, that's the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. Are we going to put that back in there and say, and oh, by the way, this time we really mean it? See, the Constitution and any of these amendments are not self-enforcing documents. So we have to have the courage to stand up and do something about that. We have to understand that most of these proposals that he has here, he's pointing out that the bureaucracies and the judiciary, especially the Supreme Court, are out of control, unaccountable, unelected to the American, by the American people. So we have to find some way to restore that. And his prescription, most of these amendments, would be to have a two-thirds majority of the states to override what the bureaucracies are doing, what the Supreme Court is doing, what activist federal courts are doing. I would say this. We have a tool where one juror can override this on a case-by-case basis. We need to understand that we have powers that we're not even using. And that's a problem of ignorance of the American people. We need to have situations where we require the judges to inform the jurors of both their rights and the duties. They need to know what the prospective penalties are going to be if they find somebody guilty. So that's the situation that was behind Oregon. It wasn't just an out-of-control bureaucracy, but it was a jury that wrongfully convicted these people because they didn't know what the penalties were going to be, because they were told they could only judge the facts and not how the law was going to be applied. We had a judge there who revolted against the obscenity of this mandatory minimum, calling these people arsonists and terrorists. He said, it offends my conscience. And yet, it was overturned because of mandatory minimum. So we need to get rid of that. We need to require judges to tell the truth. We need to have honesty when we select the juries. We need to reclaim due process. You see, we have a situation now, we have a court system that really operates without justice, without mercy, without due process. We have the fiction that when the government punishes you by stealing your property, they can call it a civil action and not a criminal action. No, civil action is what happens when two citizens sue each other in court. A criminal action is when the government comes after you with penalties. So we need to remove those lies. But before we can, we need to look at some of the fundamental lies that are standing right in front of us, like the war on drugs, for example. And we had Debbie Wasserman Schultz called out for that, said, you know, why are you still supporting marijuana prohibition of all things? And she said, well, you know, I do it for safety. We have to understand that at the time we had the alcohol prohibition amendment, everybody understood the federal government had no authority. They knew what the Constitution was about. That's why we have those two amendments, to make it illegal and to make it legal again. We have to restore respect and understanding of what the rule of law is. So we don't have a Constitution problem. We have a problem with criminals in Washington. Well, that's it for tonight's news. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider supporting our operation. Well, join us again tomorrow. We'll be back at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the nightly news.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there.
InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.